Sorry. And so I'm sure there's a lot of things that you don't know about me and I don't know about you. So I'm just going to give you a teeny little snapshot of who I am and a little bit about myself. I'm a country girl. I'm very curious. I'm very black and white. I'm competitive. I'm social. I'm adventurous. I'm a nonconformist. And I really like people. And those are just things about my personality. They're not necessarily right or wrong. They're just who I am. But there definitely are some wrong things about me. And one of those wrong things has been with me since the very beginning of my life. And that thing is pride. And I just find it ironic in God's timing that last week Mike talked about pride, and this week is kind of like the 1-2 shot. I don't know about boxing, but I think that's kind of what that was. I feel like I got it twice. And Mike asked me way back in January to do this, and so I'm kind of a fly-by-the-seat-of-my-pants kind of person, and so I've had 2 months to mull this over, and that's a long time for people like me to think about this. But I think it's been really good because God knew this is what I needed to talk about, was my pride, and I've been arguing with him for 2 months about this. And so when Mike talked about it last week, I knew it was God talking through Mike that, yeah, you need to talk about your pridefulness and what's been a struggle for you your whole life and probably will be till I put my foot in the grave, the battle with my flesh. So it's something that God's been trying to prune out of my life, and I'm sure it's just going to, he's going to get out the shears over and over again and work on me. I grew up on a ranch in eastern Colorado with four of my siblings, and I'm very thankful for a mom that prayed for me and loved me and had probably all the neighbor ladies that knew Jesus praying for me too. And when I was 8, I went to Vacation Bible School, and it wasn't the first time that I'd heard the gospel, but it was the time when the truth really soaked into my heart. And I understood that Jesus had died on the cross to save me. And I knew I needed to ask him to forgive me for my sins. Without that, I knew that I was going to be, I didn't know a lot of doctrine, but I knew that I was going on my way to hell. And if I died, that's where I would end up. And so that day, I accepted Christ into my life. And I know that he wrote my name in the Lamb's Book of Life, and it'll never be erased. And I am so thankful for that. Because there's been many times in my life that I've tried to squirm out of his grasp, and that's just impossible, and I'm thankful for that. Lots of times I've tried to do that, but as a teenager, I definitely, by the time I was in high school, I'd done a lot of really rotten things. I was rebellious and made a lot of bad choices that I regret. But I know that my mom's prayers, and like I said, probably all those neighbor ladies that she had praying for me, God used those prayers and answered those prayers, and God spanked me, for lack of a better word. I was in a car accident when I was 15 years old, and I wasn't wearing my seatbelt. And because of that, I hit the windshield, and I had glass that was just pretty much surrounding my face and my eye, and they were worried about some neck injuries and some back injuries. And so they bandaged up my eyes and put a neck brace on and put me on a backboard and took me to the hospital. And after they probably did the initial assessment, they thought I wasn't going to die. So it was a busy day on a Saturday, and they just kind of left me there, all bandaged up and, yeah, not seeing anything, in the kind of in my own personal dark, I guess you would say. And I knew that was God's love and wisdom when I look back at that, because he knew that this little rebellious country girl needed to be strapped down so that she would be still and know that he is God. And that day, he really spoke to my heart, and he confronted me with a lot of the gods that I'd been living for, and the first one was myself. And I had been trying to seek the attention of boys in lots of different ways, and sports, and just all the things that go along with those, accolades with that. And in that time, I just had a lot of time to think and look back over my life and what I'd done in those 15 years, and I didn't know if I was going to walk. I didn't know what I was going to look like. But in God's wisdom and in that stillness of that time, God and I did business. And that was really a turning point in my life when I knew I needed to surrender my life back over to him. And I'm really thankful that he loves those that he disciplines those that he loves. And I needed that discipline. And I've been trying to follow Jesus since then. I've messed it up, but it was the best decision that I've ever made in my life. Hasn't been perfect. There's been ups and downs, and there's been joys, and there's been sorrows. I'm very thankful when I look over and I see four of my five kids that are here today that are following God, and my other one is also, and I'm really thankful for that. That's probably, for a mom, that's probably the deepest joy that you can have, is to see your kids following after Christ. There's been sorrows. My mom passed away from cancer. One of my sisters and her husband was killed by a drunk driver. I've had cancer. There's been some tough stuff, but God has walked through me every single step, and he's been faithful. He's been my rock. He's just been my shelter, and he's been what's got me through life. And I don't know what's to come, but I know he's going to be there through the rest of it, and I'm really thankful for that. I want to follow him the rest of my days, and I want to be a fisher of men. I want to store up my treasures in heaven and not here on earth. And I want to be a living sacrifice, but all too often, I'm that sacrifice that crawls back off the altar and in my pridefulness thinks that I can do things my own way. And I'm so thankful for his forgiveness, that we can come back to him and ask for his forgiveness, and he'll give us another chance. And those are unending. Not that we should take that for granted, but that if we confess and try to make things right with him, he will definitely forgive us. And I'm so thankful for that, that his mercies are new every morning. I guess I just hope this was a little bit of an encouragement to you. A verse that I discovered when I was 16, when I was kind of going through a rough patch, was 1 Peter 5:7, which is casting all your cares on him, for he cares for you. And I just want you guys to know that he cares for you too, and that if you have never put your trust in Christ, just like Mike offered, that if you would ever want to come and ask me, I would love to explain that to you, and just that you would stop in your busyness of life and just be still and know that he is God. And that's really all I have to share, but thanks for listening.
Thank you, Chris. Now we're just gonna celebrate together the cross. We're gonna celebrate Christ and him crucified together through the Lord's Supper. Jesus Christ gave us this as a gift. He gave this as a ordinance for us to do as Christians, rather. And it is, the Lord's Supper is to remind us of who Christ is and what he has done on the cross for us. It's to remind us and point our hearts and our minds to grace, to God's grace. And I'm going to read a passage in a moment from 1 Corinthians 11. Before I do, I'll just say, if you're a believer and you're walking with Christ, like this is the real deal for you, you are invited to come. You don't have to be a member of Ridgeview. We would welcome you to partake of the Lord's Supper. And what we do is we come either to the front or the back where the elements are, and we take it back to our seats, and there we partake. It's a collective thing we're all doing together, but it's between you and God at the same time. So if you don't feel comfortable coming up, you don't have to. And people will be moving around. You'll not be noticed or anything like that. So feel comfortable staying in your seat if you don't understand it or don't want to come. So I'm going to read 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 26. And this is Jesus giving us this as an ordinance for us. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it. And he said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup after the supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Father, we are grateful for what you have done for us. We are thankful that you sent the Son to die in our stead, to take our wrath, to take our guilt, and to give us his righteousness. Jesus, we remember you now as we partake of this bread and of this wine. And we are grateful and we are thankful for what you have done on the cross for our salvation. Father, thank you for this time. We exalt in you today. In Jesus' name, amen.